Oh, there. Oh, no, sorry, sorry.
Department. Seeing his hand that he started our meeting, I can see that you are already connected over there. You are ready to kick off with the presentation. Let me take this opportunity to welcome everybody. I have received apologies from the Minister and the Deputy Minister. I did speak to them yesterday. They were requesting that the committee should accept the apologies because we know that Wednesday is the Cabinet Day and sometimes it becomes difficult, and from our side, it also we are having time constraints in terms of changing the dates that we have put in place. It's very difficult for us to do that. So we will have to continue with the presentation today, with the understanding that we have received their written apologies and also the DG. And at this stage, I would like to request the committee members to introduce themselves. The meeting. I will start with Member Makgathe down there.
Is it on? Thank you, Chairperson. I'm Wendy Makgathe from the Northwest Province. Thank you very much.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Michael Debalier from the Western Cape.
Good morning. My name is Willem Farber. I represent the Northern Cape and I'm also a member of the Select Committee.
Good morning, my name is Sipho Planke. I'm a member of this committee. I'm representing Northwest.
Good morning, my name is Busise Mube. I'm a member of this committee representing Gauteng at the NCP.
Nomonde Khasmane, the chairperson of this committee.
My name is Maria Mabito, and then afterwards, I'll inform you how we're going to manage the presentation.
Good morning, Honourable Members. Lana Peterson, Parliamentary Liaison.
Good morning, Members. My name is Thabo Rapoloshi. I'm responsible for social assistance in the Department of Social Development.
Good morning, Honourable Members. I'm Kenneth Brink, Field Officer within the Independent Tribunal DSD.
Good morning, Chairperson and Honourable Members. My name is Virginia Peterson. I'm the Program Manager for the Appeals Tribunal.
Good morning, Chairperson Members. I'm the Acting CFO of the Department, Dorothy Slaymer.
Good morning, Honourable Members. My name is Roger Sichwaye. I'm responsible for the strategy.
Good morning. My name is Peter Sparrow, Acting Deputy for Community Development.
Good morning, members and everyone here. My name is Tulisile Ganyaza Twalo. I'm the content advisor for this committee. Thank you.
Good morning, members and everyone. I'm Kululi Molo, the Director for the Select Committee on Social Services.
Good morning. I'm Sean Whiting. I'm also a researcher for the selectivity.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Mamma Juan from Eastern Cape.
Okay, thanks, Chairperson. What we'll do, we will not have one person presenting the entire, presentation. We will have Mr. Rogers Klatchoy from the Chief Director Strategy to do the initial part of the overall overview, and then each branch will take care of its presentation so that you can have the details as we present. Otherwise, if it's one person presenting, we'll just go through the presentation without much detail. Okay, thank you very much. And then I think Rogers will start with the presentation.
Okay, thank you, Chair. You can tell me if I'm audible enough. I'll try as much as I can to raise the voice.
The structure of the presentation was intended in specific of the for the department. Then we will start to see the priorities for the next 5 years.
Hello? Is this one audible? So that means there's a problem with this one. Try the other one.
Hello? Hello?
Okay. Try. A little better. So I'll try maybe speak from a distance. All right. Then we'll try to link the priorities. Thanks. It sounds a lot more better.
Yeah.
I can hear myself as well. Then we'll try to link the DSD priorities with broader government outcomes because we understand our responsibility to be to respond to those priorities. So we think that would be very important to demonstrate that. Then we'll zoom into detail where we look into strategic objectives and measures. And these are concrete interventions that we will be focusing on that would respond to the priorities that align to government outcomes. Then look at, as we go along, look at high-level achievements with an understanding that we've had an opportunity to share the annual report with the Assembly. And also then part B would be focusing on the finances, resources that we are allocating to implement the strat plan. Just to, again, reiterate, we're here just to brief the committee on the strat plan, what we have there. It's basically a strat plan that covers 5 years, but we'll try to have focus more on the, over the MTEF, because that's where we have a better control of the budget in terms of how it works. In relation to, if I could just maybe go to the strategic overview, over the past 15 years, as a department, we have focused more on transformation agendas, trying to bring in a couple of legislation to begin to level the play field in terms of service delivery. And as such, we have created a number of legislation through the help of this house, both houses, that basically give rights to the most vulnerable South Africans. Whilst we were doing that, the focus now is to begin to look beyond just generating policy. I think there was a context for generating the policies because we've had to respond to the immediate needs of our people. But we're beginning to see if are there better ways of making sure that the policies are responsive to the needs of the people. And that we will be able to assess through research, focusing more on research, exploring other policy gaps if they may be necessary. But I think we want to just begin to calibrate the implementation of the policies. This is where we're focusing on. We're delivering the services through a network of NGOs, and this is the strategy that we've adopted. that we may not be able to reach the breadth of this country. There are capable organizations at the local level, volunteers, people wanting to participate in the development agenda of this government. So we work with them to deliver the services. But we also have entities which we have them more under our control, like SASA, the National Development Agency, which is largely responsible for disbursement of grant capacity building, and almost like a think tank for social development in as far as policies are concerned. Then we obviously have the Central Drug Authority that advises the minister on the substance abuse. So basically, this is the outline in terms of how we locating ourselves within social development and welfare in the country. But just to zoom into the priorities, the first priority, and this would really struggle over 5 years, as you've noticed, they are very broad, would be building a comprehensive social security system, including income support and safety net for the destitute. So we would want to begin to close the gaps around comprehensive social security. I think there are concrete proposals that we are discussing around it, but also enhance, you know, our provision of social assistance programs. When we go to the details, we'll be able to share with you some of the bills that might be coming through this house that would help us begin to deal with the issue of destitution surrounding social assistance. Care and protection for the vulnerable groups, especially children, women, people with disabilities. This is one of the key areas for reasons that we continue to be challenged in this particular area. The levels of abuse still very rife. When we're interpreting the report from the Ministry from SEPS, there's a sense that social crime, by and large, is still, you know, on the increase. So we'd want to begin to upscale interventions around this area, particularly from a social development, but in the context of integrated justice system as well. Strengthening of family and communities, we believe that if we nip it at that point, we might be just being strategic, in a sense that if we have stronger families, stronger communities, there is no reason to have you know, a lot of social ills. So we're beginning to pay attention around those areas as well. Transforming social relations with specific focus on gender and victim empowerment. Efforts around gender mainstreaming, about issues of human trafficking. We'll give more details around it, but those are just to give you a teaser on what the priorities will be covering. Strengthening of institutional capacity to deliver quality services. As I've mentioned, 80% of our services are delivered through NGOs. So it means then we need to rationalize the funding model that we currently have in relation to the NGOs. Are we adequately providing them support to deliver the services? We want to be looking at the reach of the NGOs. Are they located in areas where the needs are of our people? So we're beginning to look at all the institutional mechanisms around supporting the delivery of social development services. And lastly, in terms of priorities, it's more of reinforcing participation in bilateral and multilateral initiatives that contribute to poverty eradication. So we'll be a bit picky on things that we feel that add value to social development, but also more biased towards the region, Africa in particular, whilst at the same time, you know, continuing with the standing agreements that we might be having with the European Union, Asia, and other regional bodies. Just to go on the linkage, the slide is too far, but I just thought, let me give you an overview of what has happened, you know, culminating into the strat plan. The manifesto of government guided our work, the five manifesto priorities. At the time when we were starting with the strategic planning process, we had at our preview the 10 MTSF priorities, basically translating the manifestos. Unfortunately, we hadn't heard the outcomes as yet because they got published around January this year. But nevertheless, we decided to do some groundwork based on the MTSF priorities and went ahead to have an engagement at the sectoral level and say, given the MTSF priorities, what are the sectoral issues that we want to tackle to respond to the priorities? Those were translated into goals, sets of interventions and outputs. So just to say that we have a detailed plan that would cascade down to our service delivery partners. Okay, the next slide. What I'm trying to do on this slide, hopefully it's going to be useful to the members, is to start on the far left, about the manifesto. The first manifesto was our priority was creation of decent work and sustainable livelihoods. And the corresponding priority to that is speeding up economic growth and transform the economy to create decent work and sustainable livelihoods. And the outcome, as published in January, was about decent employment through inclusive growth. We believe we have a contribution around this particular outcome, particularly around the area of social security, comprehensive social security. We have done a couple of studies that have indicated that grants have increased mobility of households. People are able to look for jobs much better than before, but also I think it has created positive spin-offs in terms of keeping children at school and some of these beneficiaries. So in a process, through the scaling, they're able to participate meaningfully in the economy. But more specifically, in terms of the interventions around comprehensive social security, we will continue to reduce income poverty among the poor and vulnerable South Africans. So we continue on that trajectory. But also, where we were challenged, for instance, in the area of social relief of distress, destitution, we're ushering new policies, for instance, coherent policies on social relief of distress, to make sure that when you are in any province, there's a standardized way of accessing that particular service. But also would want to devolve it to a provincial level so that, the response is quicker. There's nothing really so sad when there is a disaster somewhere. The relief comes weeks later after, you have gone through a difficult moment. So I think this is the shift that we're trying to come into. We will also look into comprehensive social insurance system. As I've indicated that we have noticed that there are gaps in as far as that is concerned, characterized by fragmentation of social insurance, which sits in different departments. We're beginning to see whether are there merits of pulling these things together, and the respective branches will be able to take you into the details. On the same priority, we would also be establishing systems for adjudicating social assistance appeals. Again, here to make sure that people have access to administrative justice in as far as our services are concerned, but also we do not deny the rights that people are entitled to by the law. So we'll be creating systems just to make sure that happens speedily and expeditiously. But also, we believe that the mandate given to us around EPWP contributes directly to job creation as well, to decent work. So in this instance, we'll help create decent work through EPWP program in the social sector part. We'll be playing a lead role in that. Youth unemployment remain very high in the country, so we also will be focusing on how do we begin to link youth to economic opportunities, how do we begin to enhance
youth skills through Masuba Tele Youth Pioneer Programs and National Youth Services, just to move them upstream as well. Then let me just maybe move to priority number two, which is on the manifesto side, the fight against crime and corruption. On that, our reading is that government has been working on that already. What is happening now is just to intensify the effort around crime prevention. And the outcome is all people in South Africa are and feel safe. We think this is quite a challenging outcome, you know. And we will, through our strategic intervention around care and protection of vulnerable groups, contribute towards this area. And just to be more specific, in terms of the DST intervention, we will significantly reduce social crime over the next 5 years. That's what we committed to. Also, we understand that there's a correlation between substance abuse and social crime. So given that, we will also look at reducing substance abuse. With the help of the CDA, we'll be able to work around that. But also, we will look into reducing the risk of sexual and physical violence against women, specifically biased towards gender-based violence. We'll be looking at that, and promote gender equality, hopefully dismantling the notion of patriarchy. You know, it's a long-term goal, but I think we want to believe that we need to remain in perspective around that. If we can change that, we would have achieved something. Number three, manifesto priorities, education. I must say here, honorable members, it was one difficult one trying to see what is the fit with social development. You've noticed that on the DSD priority area, I struggled to sort of interpret it. But I believe that maybe through our initiatives around ECD, probably that's where we would be making a contribution in that respect. On rural development, food security and land reform, the idea that government has around this is to have a comprehensive rural development strategy linked to the land and agrarian reform and food security, and the outcome is vibrant, equitable, sustainable rural communities contributing towards food security for all. We think we have a role here. And our contribution in terms of priority area is through strengthening of family and community. I think we've been working in that space for quite some time now to understand that communities have a say, communities have something to contribute around their own development. To deal with that, we will support and strengthen family and community interventions that foster social cohesion, be it beginning to look at things like stock flows and other creative strategies around how do we mobilize the communities and so forth. But you'll get a detail as we go into objectives and measures. Under health, which is about improving health profile of our societies and the outcome, a long and healthy life for all South Africans, we believe that our contribution with regards to HIV/AIDS, the social aspect of HIV/AIDS, fits very well. So we're committing to reduce the incidence of HIV/AIDS and minimize its psychosocial impact. And let me just say something else here. You notice that now the five manifesto priorities are finished. But then there are other MTSF priorities. We've got 10 MTSF priorities. Which I believe that these are the areas that government has lifted up to say they need to be, you know, also a focus of government. And that includes a focus on massive programs to build economic and social infrastructure. We believe that we are able to deliver our services, social development, largely facilitated through infrastructure. So we want to see how we can use the infrastructure, you know, focus to begin to contribute in this particular priority. And the number seven of MTSF is build a developmental state, including improving public service strengthening democratic institutions. We believe we can contribute around this priority of government by strengthening institutional capacity to deliver quality services to those partner organizations, and specifically we'll create sustainable environments for service delivery partners. So we would not want to lock NGOs in some bureaucracy where they can't register on time, we can't transfer grants to them, and Program 4 will be able to speak to what specific initiatives do we have to begin to untangle that. Also would institutionalize evidence-based policy making in DSD and social sector. I think linking up to the earlier priority where I said moving away just from just maybe putting legislation, how do we begin to calibrate the operations using evidence? This is what we'll be beginning to actually look at to strengthen and build confidence of from our people on what government is actually providing. And building cohesive and caring sustainable communities as a priority, we think we have a strong contribution around that. The priority area is strengthening of family and communities, but specific interventions would be those that relate to implementing youth programs that assist youth to access decent work. We think it links up to social cohesion as well. Hopefully would minimize any potential abruptness or social upheaval when youth feel that they belong in our country. But also, we'll be focusing on improving social welfare services to older people. We have just passed the regulations have just been signed off pertaining to older persons. So we'll be going full force around implementing the provisions within that particular act. And this basically would contribute towards building a cohesive and caring and sustainable community that government envisages. But also we'll protect and promote the rights of people with disabilities. We'll invest in and ensure the provision of quality social welfare services to children through the implementation of Children's Act. Also, the good news is that we have already worked out the implementation plans, the regulations are in place. So I think this is just the area of implementation, and we would like just to focus on that. I think this basically concludes the section that Chair I've had to cover, and maybe we will proceed to Program 2, which is Comprehensive Social Security, which will be presented by Tabo over there. So I guess I can make way for him here. Yeah.
Thank you, Chair, honorable members. My presentation will be focusing on comprehensive social security. There are two aspects into what we call comprehensive social security. One aspect deals with income support or to vulnerable groups, or what you will know as social grants. The other aspects relate to social insurance, which is normally what you will contribute into your retirement funds or annuities. And so those are the two aspects of comprehensive social security. And so I'll be speaking to those. In terms of social assistance, our focus in going forward is to ensure that we can expand or continue to expand the social safety net. We currently have about 13 million so beneficiaries or those who are receiving various social grants that we provide, the child support grant, the old age grant, the foster care grant, various types of grants that we provide. In fact, almost about 10 out of the 13.8 million, 10 million of our beneficiaries are children which shows a government commitment in terms of tackling child poverty. And so over the MTF period, we'll be focusing on the extension. As you will recall, that Cabinet took a decision to extend the child support grant to children until they are 18 years of age. And we have started this year in January in terms of that phasing approach, where we've registered children between the ages of 15 to 16 years. Next year, it will be children between 16 and 17, and that outer year of the MTF, it will be all children under the age of 18 years. And I think so far we have managed to register probably in the region of about 200,000 children who would have fallen off the system had it not been of the government a decision to ensure that we provide income support to those children. But one of the key issues, as members will recall, is that of introducing some sort of a conditionality or a requirement on the part of the primary caregiver to ensure that as we provide income support to the primary caregiver, that primary caregiver ensures that the child attends and enrolls in school. And so this is a very significant area in terms of also improving, you know, the education or the human capital of our society and breaking the intergenerational cycle of poverty. But of course, this will require more of collaboration between various departments, especially the Department of Education, also at provincial level, in terms of how do you monitor that this child is in school and so on. But our approach has always been that even if a child is not in school, as social development, our approach is more of a developmental one, in a sense that we will begin to have our social services professionals who will go and investigate the underlying reasons as to why that child is not in school, so that that child can remain in school. And so it's going to require a more concerted effort in terms of inter-government collaboration. The other area that we're working on, Chairperson, is that of bringing parity between men and women in terms of accessing the old age grant. In 2008, there was a decision taken that all senior citizens should receive the grant from the age of 60. Previously, men will receive the old age grant when they turn 65 years of age, and women when they turn 60 years of age. And there was that discrimination on the basis of sex. But government has taken that policy position to say we need to equalize and ensure that all senior citizens are able to get the grant. From the age of 60, we started that process in 2008. Will be, in fact, this year we are finalizing that, and this is a message that we also need to send to our senior citizens to say, if you are 60 years this year, you can go and apply for a social grant at SASSA. We have currently registered almost 200,000 of some of those men who will have been excluded if we're still using the same criteria in terms of their age. And so that will be the focus this year. But of course, what we'll be looking at is more public awareness, because we've realized that some of them are still not aware that they are eligible for this type of a grant. And so, Chairperson, the other issue that we are looking at, in fact, is before the Portfolio Committee now on social development, is that of introducing an amendment into our social assistance bill. What the amendment does is to look at the issue of trying to define disability and to ensure that there's a common understanding or a standardized process in terms of how disability is being assessed. Because currently you'll find that if I go to a doctor, you know, I've been using this doctor, this is a family doctor, the doctor knows that I'm living in poverty, even if I've got an asthma, which is normally a chronic illness, the doctor will then say, ah, yeah, you must get a grant, you know. And so we tend to have people on the system who are not supposed to be on the system. But the problem is a bigger one. The problem is that of poverty and unemployment, because people do not have any other form of income support. They tend to say to the doctor, man, please make sure that I get something and all of that. And so at the end of the day, it undermines the integrity of the social grant system, the fraud in the system, and so on. And so those are the issues that we are dealing with. It's before the portfolio committee, and we hope the bill will probably be passed by just after the World Cup or so. In doing that, the bill will also, as part of the implementation and what's going to go into the regulations, is what we call a harmonized assessment tool, which is a tool that is going to be used by health professionals to assess disability. And so it's not going to be based on your emotions and, you know, favoritism that I know this person. It's going to look especially at disability. Is this person disabled? Can this person be able to do A, B, and C in terms of the activity limitations and so on? And so that will be the focus of the assessment tool for children with disabilities and also adults. One of the key areas that Rogers also indicated is that of social relief of distress, which is generally a temporary support that we provide to you know, those who are destitute, facing undue hardship and so on. And we've been currently, provinces provide social relief in various forms. You go to Gauteng, they will give you vouchers. You go to another province, they will probably give you a food parcel. You go to the other province, they will probably give you cash. And so that in itself creates challenges because it becomes discretionary again from the perspective of the administrators and so on. And we believe that we need to create a more coherent approach in terms of dealing with this issue. And our view is that the social relief of distress will be best placed if it's at the provinces rather than at being at a national function as it is. Because if you need it, you can go to SASA. SASA must collaborate with the province, all of those things. But we believe that it will be more immediate intervention if the provinces themselves are able to provide that kind of support. And so we're working on the policy at this point in time. Of course, we'll also work on the bill, which I think will also serve in this committee for more comments because of its implications to provinces. The other aspect that we will be working on is around social insurance, which is a major challenge in this country, in a sense that we don't have mandatory social insurance. The social insurance currently is voluntary, and we have realized that many people, they will contribute whether in retirement annuities and so on, but when they have to retire, they then, you know, back to square one, in a sense that the replacement rate of what they have contributed are far much less than at the end of they are, you know, or when they retire, that they get even less, and they will then have to rely on the old age grant for them to be supported. And so we think that we need to introduce a mechanism that will begin to protect the income of those who will be retiring. But they need to start now to begin to save for their retirement, which is one of the challenges at this point in time. And so we'll be working out the policy framework in terms of how mandatory insurance is going to be introduced in this country, also looking at issues around the institutional framework, because when you look at social insurance provisions, they are also very fragmented, and sometimes there's triple dipping. If you happen to get an accident, a car accident, somebody can claim from the road accident fund, you know, but they can also come and claim from us to say, I'm disabled. And so, that, you know, there's that double dipping that also happens in the system. And so we'll begin to ensure that there's a coherent approach in terms of dealing with that particular issue. Of course, I think in this area, one of the things that happens within the social assistance framework, which I think Ms. Virginia Peterson will touch on, is the issue around administrative justice. What happens is that other people do apply for our grants, and they get rejected, and there is that record that you know, they can follow in terms of dealing with that. But Ms. Peterson will talk more around that. I think I've quickly covered the two aspects of, you know, comprehensive social security. Thank you.
No, try that one. Is it not working? Just try it.
Thank you very much, sir. Welfare services is divided into various sub-programs. I'll just list them just for ease of reference. We've got social crime prevention, which includes victim empowerment. And then we've got programs that deal with services to families in general. We've got services to children, older persons, people with disabilities,
and we've got the management and support services to NGOs that are delivering, that are in partnership with the department in terms of delivering services, welfare services. These are mainly the NGOs at national level that we work directly with. And then we've got service standards. That sub-program deals with ensuring that our services are standardized across the board in all the provinces and nationally. Okay, now starting with the objective of reducing the risk of sexual and physical violence against women, which is mainly gender-based violence. We've got a number of outputs there, which is developing and facilitating the implementation of the prevention of the prevention programs on gender-based violence by March 2011. What you are doing, what you intend to do here is to ensure that mainly the NGOs that are delivering these services are capacitated and supported. By capacitating, we mean all the guidelines and the programs that have been developed nationally. We will capacitate the NGOs and our provincial counterparts in relation to this. This includes the training on the Sexual Offences Act, the training on the national guidelines on VEP, guidelines for victim empowerment, for victims of sexual assault and domestic violence and human trafficking. And also all our partners are involved in the campaign of the 16 days of no violence against women and children. So we will also implement the shelter strategy. We have developed a shelter strategy that guides the NGOs that provide this service on how to standardize, the service that each woman or a woman or children who's a victim of violence and goes to that shelter, they will receive the same service even if they go to any shelter in any part of the country. And we also have a program called it's a strategy on men and boys. We've developed this strategy in collaboration with the NGOs that deal with this matter, and so that there are more and more of NGOs that are implementing the strategy. We will train as many as possible through specific national NGOs such as Sanke. Support and strengthen families and communities. We, in the past year, we've been trying to draft the family policy, and then we took it to Cabinet last year, but Cabinet was not very happy and said it was not broad enough. What do we need to do? Because the family is a cross-cutting issue in the country. It's a really basic institution in any society. So there are many cross-cutting issues and integration issues that we needed to look at. So we were advised to develop a white paper, but before then, in this current financial year, we're going to develop a green paper that has to be consulted before we can get into a white paper. And we will also build capacity for implementation of the number of programs that we have developed, for example, your family preservation program. In the past 2 years, we've developed those programs and we want to implement them now. We've got family preservation, marriage enrichment. We've got a program for inculcating positive values in families. And then we've got also, this year we will develop the parenting program. And this is a program that cuts across a number of sub-programs in the branch. So they'll work together to develop that. In terms of I'm still on social crime prevention.
We also intend to develop the legislation on victim empowerment. We have a policy framework on victim empowerment, but we have discovered some gaps in terms of service delivery to victims of domestic violence in particular, because there's no legislation. For example, the registration of the organizations that provide victim support services are not registered as welfare services, NPOs. So we want to deal with those matters so that these NPOs can be accountable to the department as we provide them with funding. Or they also deal with human rights issues, and we will never know how to deal with them if they are not properly registered and accredited to deliver those programs if they are not in our database. I think another thing is that even if we have developed norms and standards for the delivery of these services, we cannot enforce those norms and standards if they are not backed by legislation. With regard to the implementation of the Child Justice Act, which commenced on the 1st of April, I'm sure you're all aware, we know that social development is responsible for the provision of secure care facilities. So we have developed the blueprint and minimum standards for delivery of secure care models, and we hope this will be approved this year and implemented this year as well. And we also intend to develop we have a draft social crime prevention strategy, and our hope is that it will be finalized and approved this year and implemented, because each department needs to have its own specific social crime prevention strategy, and our department is busy with that now. With regard to substance abuse, before we can implement the prevention of and treatment for substance abuse, which was passed by Parliament in 2008, we are in the process of developing the regulations to implement that legislation. With regards to prevention, this year we really want to heighten our campaign, like a major campaign, that is we should. The intention is to mobilize the entire society to raise awareness in the entire society and mobilize all our partners and key partners to help us to implement the Gemoja campaign. And developing monitoring and assessment tools for substance abuse services, this we also intend to do this so that we can start regularizing this field. And we will review and coordinate and implement our mini drug master plan. Although the national drug master plan is within the department, but managed by the central drug authority, the department still has got an obligation to have its own mini drug master plan, which we submit to the CDA. So we have to submit that in this financial year, so that it's become part of the package of the implementation of the National Drug Master Plan.
Excuse me, you only have 15 minutes to present everything.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll be through in 15 minutes. And then I'll move to there is a need to implement them, to strengthen the CDA. The Central Drug Authority will try to do that in this financial year. There are problems there with regard to the management and coordination of the National Drug Master Plan because of capacity issues. And we also, with regard to older persons, we're implementing the Older Persons Act has commenced on the 1st of April, and we'll be implementing it, but there's a number of things that we need to do. The initial implementation of community-based models in three provinces, the audit of intergenerational problems, and the situational, we have to complete the situational analysis on community-based care services.
and also the initial, I will not say the pilot, it's really the initial implementation of the norms and standards in KZN. And we are working further this year on the finalization of the South African Plan of Action. And then with regards to people with disabilities, during the last year, I think it was in 2009, the United Nations Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities was sort of acceded by the department, but not by the department, by South Africa as a whole. And through the Ministry of Women, People with Disabilities and Children, we have to report to them on how we're implementing this UN Convention. So our main focus this year will be to align all our policies and programs with the UN Convention on the Rights of persons with disabilities. And we will also try to ensure that all our programs are mainstream services to people with disabilities. And there's a need within the programs that we have for people with disabilities for those programs to be regulated. So we also start with the development of the policy framework, and later the development of the legislation for people with disabilities, mainly on social services. With regards to service standards, we are continuing with the implementation of the recruitment and retention strategy. The main program there, as you know, is the scholarship program, which quite a number of young people are accessing. I think in this financial year we've got more than 5,000 students, social work students in various universities in the country. And then we have I'll just move faster. We have the norms and standards program that the intention is to standardize all welfare services services across the country. Children, services to children, older persons, people with disability, HIV and AIDS, all the programs that fall within welfare services will be standardized once we completed this project. The intention is to finalize all the necessary tools this year and then start with the implementation in the next financial year. And then we're also reviewing the funding, the financial policy, the policy on financial hours, and we are developing the policy for social service professions so that we can continue with the finalization and approval of the legislation for social service professions. Okay, I'm now on children. With children, I think the main achievement this year is that on the 1st of April, the Children's Act came into operation. And a number of projects or outputs that we are dealing with in this financial year are really towards the full implementation of the Children's Act. They are all part of the Children's Act. For example, the Child Protection Register, the National Surveillance System on Child Abuse and Neglect, and Prevention Programs for Child Abuse and Neglect, the Transformation of Residential Care Facilities. We're also looking at the guidelines for statutory services to child-led households, because child-led households have been properly provided for in the legislation, and it's a new provision within the sector, so people need guidelines on how to deliver those services. We will have we have already developed a strategy for children living and working on the streets. It will be implemented this year. There's a new model for foster care, which is cluster foster care model, that will also be implemented this year. We have developed it. There are a number of strategies that are required from the by the legislation, and we'll be developing those strategies in totality. I've already talked to the NAMSA standards for welfare services. I think that's over for welfare services. Thank you.
Do you have any presentation? Is there any presentation?
So there's community development.
Oh.
You have 5 minutes.
Thanks very much for opportunity, Chairperson, members of the House. I will be presenting to you the community development first plan. Seeing that I've got 5 minutes, I think I will give a just introduction to say what I'll be talking about before you go to the next slide. The branch deals with three areas that are very fundamental. The first one is community development itself, which is responsible for the facilitation of community development to ensure that communities are self-reliant and are well off. They also deal with issues of poverty and underdevelopment. There's also in this area, they deal with issues of youth, so that the youth could be a target group for development. One aspect of the community development is to ensure that the communities participate in the economic development. For example, one of the things linking the CSG, which is child support grant recipient, to economic activities that is available in the community. One example is to deal with issues of cooperatives, food banks, etc., etc. The second area under that is the area of non-profit organization. The whole issue is the administration of the NPO Act and ensuring that all communities that want to register as NPOs are registered in time and are provided with capacity. And there is somewhere where members of the community can access who is registered and who is not registered. The last one is the issue of HIV/AIDS, which is the contribution of social development in the reduction or minimization of the psychosocial impact of HIV/AIDS and any other diseases that are related. So the objectives that I will present, I will go through them quicker. I think it will follow that pattern. The other community development, there's three units. One is the community development itself, which is responsible for the development of community development policies and implementation plan. But the other one is the issue of sustainable livelihood, which we will, one of the things they've planned is to enhance livelihood of poor households by facilitating the implementation of social cooperative that I've mentioned. The other part is the linking or facilitating the linkage between community-based organization for food banks, skills development, and what it relates to is that this relates to that communities are developed and they are projects that are identified within the communities that the department facilitate or ensure that provinces facilitate those projects. And funders or donors, if they come, they fund those projects. For example, the cooperatives which we have mentioned earlier deals with, for example, identifying a group of people that can do, for example, a car wash. And the department develop a guideline that will be able to do that and assist them to register and be able to develop their community. And I think by that, it will assist those communities to link with the economic development or economic opportunities that are available. Next slide. The other part which is there is the linkages. I think we have planned that we will link 4,500 beneficiaries to the existing and new development projects programs in the country. And we will also ensure that they, within the communities, we have got people that the department appoint. They are called CDPs, which stand for Community Development Practitioners. So one of the plan is that those people need to be trained, and we request provinces to appoint more people so that they can assist communities develop. So one of the things, we will continually train them. Next slide. On the issue of the youth, there is two programs that are implemented there. One of the programs is the Masopasila program, which we are in collaboration with Cuba, wherein we will develop and facilitate implementation of the responsive and focused youth development programs. One of the things that we have, we will train 100 Masopasila youth pioneer mentors. The Masopasila are the youth that must be trained on issues. One of the issues is the issues where people understand who they are, what they are in the country, and ensure that they understand their roles in the country. Those people have to have mentors. Mentors are the senior group that must be trained to ensure that they can facilitate the younger ones. The next slide. On the issue of HIV and AIDS, we are going to contribute our reducing of the incidence or the minimizing the impact. You will understand very well that in HIV/AIDS, once people are infected and their families becomes affected, the role of the department is to ensure that these people are supported psychosocially, which means counseling. It goes further to in that if in a family there's death, you will have orphans that are going to be left. You will have people that won't have their livelihood. So the role of this program is to ensure that they develop programs that will ensure that those people are catered for, which means in terms of counseling, providing services. Secondly, to look for OVCs, orphans and vulnerable children, that they are looked after. And thirdly, also to render a program which you call home-based care or community-based care. Home and community-based care.
You have 1 minute left.
In that home and community-based care, what we do is we planning to train as many home-based cares as possible. Last year, we trained about 13,000 home-based care in an accredited service, in an accredited program, which is called Community Health Programs. We also need to have prevention programs. So the department's role will be to participate in the implementation of the HIV and AIDS plan. So its role there is to develop a plan, and they implement the plan together with the Department of Health and Education. The last program that we have is the issue of the NPOs, and I think this one is the role of the department in this area is only to administer the NPO Act, which means ensure that NPOs are developed, are registered, and they are registered. Chairperson, I think the important thing here is that they must be registered in time when they want it, and the database must be accessible to the people. And to ensure, lastly, that all the NPOs that are registered for in the country are capacitated and they've got the knowledge on how to manage themselves, especially to manage their funds. The recent achievements, I think there's a lot of things that have been developed in terms of community development. One, in community development, they develop a policy framework. There's been toolkits that have been developed for the for CDPs, and also that the Community Food Bank and the Networking South Africa has been established. And I think there were 4 food banks that have been established in the country. In HIV/AIDS, there's been a plan that has been developed that together with Department of Health, they are implementing the plan on the psychosocial support of HIV and AIDS. There's been one fundamental development that has happened in the department, which is the development of an M&E system for home and community-based care services in the country. And I think that is one of our milestones. In terms of the NPOs, the achievement that we have in the past year was to be only to be able to register NPOs within 1 month, reducing the backlog by 100% and ensuring that we cater for those NPOs and also development of the NPO capacity building framework. That will assist that there is capacity for the non-profit organization. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Thank you.
million. Of that operational budget, I think it's just an illustration of the proportions that we spend the money on. We spend the largest proportion on goods and services to really get work done, and all the overheads around that. Our compensation comprised of 44%. The capital, which is mainly your office equipment, your IT equipment to do your operations. We don't have major capital investments. That is just the 2%, and then the small branches is just the 1%. There is also a special allocations over and above the ones to the national to the entity, which, as Dr. Maria has emphasized, our social work bursary comprised of that amount of that excludes now the entity of 77.6%. Our the last month program is 14.9%, the national council is 6.2%, and the NGO, the small NGO, is 1.3%. Thank you very much, people.
I will allow members of the committee. And comments on it. Member Fava, Member Mube, Flaky, and De Villiers, and Member Makati. Okay. Fava?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to try and keep this as short as possible. I first want to start with the manifesto is not realistic or workable at all. The creation of decent work and sustainable livelihoods on EPWP is certainly not maintaining jobs. If we want, I'm just saying, if I'm ill, I can take pills and I can cure myself. We must see where this comes from. And we must get sustainable jobs. So by then developing programs so that people can get a sustainable job, we must look into that. So that's the first one. Fight against crime and corruption, social crime and drugs. Is there a real good drug program in place, which you guys have got in place, like the Western Cape's got, for instance? That's like education on substance abuse program for people. I'm just asking if this is on a national level, if you've got programs like that running, and because I don't see the amount of money that's spent on that. Then, as well on the manifesto, I see the food security program on land reform. Now, it's proven that commercial farming secures food security. That is a fact worldwide, not by land reform and these policies. So I don't want to get into politics, but that is the crux of the matter. Then on the health HIV, improved health profile, you know, what I'm just thinking of is we are curing problems. We're not preventing it. You know, I haven't seen anything about... I was thinking of seeing something about a kids' adoption program. We've got in social life, we know it. We were talking about the omas and the opas that are looking at the children with the HIV, or where people are falling away. And the kids are falling into the system, and the kids are getting more and more and more. And eventually, this social burden on the country is crippling our country's economy. So what we're not looking at, we're not looking at decent solutions. And I thought that this was what I was going to see today in this program, that we're getting solutions from you guys and coming up to us and say, we've got something like where we think we social money spent on kids for social grants, instead of helping people perhaps adopting children, getting programs in place, help people, because there's a lot of people that would like to adopt children. That's perhaps a solution that we can look at. I'm not seeing it in here. That is me is disturbing. You know, it's just including social grants. It's getting to be a burden on the economy of our country instead of we're not getting solutions. And that to me is a very big problem. Now let's get to the better part. The community development workers, I see, because I know that is a social service. But it works under local government. And I see we've got CDPs. you know, who is who, the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing. That to me is a problem. We're creating a problem where we've got a lot of people working on the ground. I've been in the community, and I know that people say, the community development worker was at my house, but now this new CDP worker is also there. Now no one knows who is who in this thing, you know? So this thing must be correlated at some stage between social services, local government, between the community development workers and that. And then as well, that it's also knowledge, common knowledge, that this Love Life program that's got 14.9% is not working as well as we hoped that it could work. And I want to know what you guys are intending to do to make it a better workable program, because the country really deserves better on this. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chairperson. Chairperson, maybe the first one, I may not be sure in terms of where does it, which program does it go to. There's a Child Protection Act, but also there is either food security, whatever it is. I'm just thinking aloud here that there's this case at Centerstone of a 15-year-old which refused bail because he's saying that's the first time that he's getting 3 meals in jail. So the question of, I'm not sure in terms of your systems, how do your system work? It's clear that maybe the family where that boy comes from, they don't know about access to these facilities. Hence, they can't access anything. So, so to me, it then says there has to be an interaction and a response from this department, maybe also linking up with, maybe I'm not sure, other details of the children in conflict with the law. Because that boy can't be kept, continue to be kept inside jail because he's afraid of going out, that he's going to stop. The other one is on the maybe building cohesive, caring, and sustainable communities. But also I saw something that talks about local government on within that. Whether it falls on you, whether or local government, there's an issue at Alexander in Joburg. There is an informal settlement which is called Jweka. And in that informal settlement, the communities there are having a major problem of the rats that are end up eating small babies. We tried to raise it last year. We picked it up when we had the provincial week. But still, I was reading one article last week, and this person was just putting a joke about Australia with those rats that are eating babies. So I'm not sure whether it goes to yourself or to local government. I don't know. But also, I think it is also the protection of the children. Whether which programs can be done, maybe youth or community to, I don't know. I'm just raising that thing. With the building of the NGO's capacity, there's this in thing of a person that wants to open up an NGO goes to Gauteng or Western Cape, but mostly to Gauteng. Skills development, you name it, they go there. but maybe Pinky comes from Tsanini. Do you have NGOs throughout rural areas so that you can be able to expand with your program? Lastly, there are slide 66. You talk of four provinces, mobilize resources for expanding Gwanda to the remaining four provinces. I think there's another slide again that you just talk about other provinces. Because as you are here with the select committee, we have an interest of saying which are those provinces. Thank you.
Chairperson, I've got about three questions. I've tried to make them precise. One question is from the first presentation, where you, department, have indicated that at least almost 80% of the services is provided by entities or NGOs. I just want to find out from the department, how does these NGOs or entities account? And what are the department, satisfied with their services? That is my first question. And the other question goes to, you have mentioned throughout your strat plan how you intend to develop the community to better. And the program of recruiting about 100 youth to be trained for this Masupasila program. I just want to find out from the department what is actually their qualifying criteria to recruit these 100 youth people to this program. And I also want to make comment and would ask for sure the protection of my chairperson to make this comment, that I have seen many a times that the social development department have very good programs. But at the end, when these programs have to be translated into proper action for people to benefit, it tends to be used towards, you know, for political recruitment purposes. So I wanted to check. I would make indication, Chairperson. I said I want your protection.
No, you better withdraw that statement completely.
Let's withdraw that. I'll go straight to auxiliary. There was an auxiliary NEFSIC social worker program indicated in Northwest Province. Before the program took off, I'm not going to say what happened, and we were told that it was also shelved. I don't know, maybe the department will be able to account where is this program, why is it not working. If it's there, what are the results of the program? And I'm not going to mention other programs that have been misused, but I'm sure department will be able to give clarity. The last question is on slide 63. You said that your youth program based on children social work program was developed. I wanted to find out whether is it because there are no qualified experts, as it's indicated here, internally in the country, that would be able to run this program satisfactorily in your case as department. Why do you source, I'm not going to say outside, it's not necessarily outside, why do you source, you know, some kind of international expert to assist on our own social program? Don't we have experts that will deal with these things inside, you know, to develop this program, run them internally here at home? I just wanted to check why do we have to go that far to get an expert or assistance? Are we running short of these people here at home? Thank you very much.
And the Thank you, Chairperson. I've requested Honorable Divilias to stop because I'm supposed to go to the doctor's appointment. I'm just going to be short. I think mine it won't be a lot of questions, but just the concerns and the observations. Firstly, I would, I was a little bit disturbed when the first presenter, I think it's Roger, when, in the document, he indicated the issue of when they under the priorities, when there is a priority under education, but it's really frustrating that you come, you have an identified a sector as a priority, and then you come here and say you don't know how to link it. It says that the department is not really serious. How do you put an issue that you cannot even lead us on that? What is the relation of education? And maybe to assist the department, I think when you talk about education, we've got a challenge of drug abuse, and most especially which is happening in particular around the school-going age children. I think it's where social development and education really should be playing a part. I think my input will really assist you that when you go back and redefine your document, then you know what is that. And Chairperson, the other thing, I would like to agree with the other member that, when you look into our strategies of social development, really we've got clear, somehow attractive strategies and plans. But when you go to the ground, this is the opposite. What we are talking about at the national is not happening on the ground. If I have to give an example, we were in Limpopo. When you talk about social services, social development in Limpopo is a disaster. It says to us, as we are seated here, that the department don't have proper monitoring mechanisms. Is a disaster. All the sectors, all the areas that we visited, it's like social development is not there in Limpopo. And the other thing that I would like to raise is the issue, like I'm talking about what is happening on the ground. You go to Klerksdorp, social development is not cooperating with other departments. How do you think that at the end we'll have this, when we've got an objective, that it will need other departments to work with, and social development as something, the department which is key to our rural people, as it's not really cooperative and not willing to work with other departments. And maybe from the presenters, they talked about the EPWP, this Extended Public Works Program, that they should try to elaborate how they envisage that program and how actually, what are the issues, or they can give us examples that this is how they can, this EPWP can be extended. We are looking into these areas that this is how it will filter in social development. Lastly, Chairperson, on a lighter note, sometimes, yes, we are representing provinces, but we are from political parties. I'm looking into the document they're talking about manifesto. On a lighter note, which manifesto are they referring to? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. My honorable colleague just touched on the one of Limpopo. Now, in the document, there is care and protection of children, women, and people with disabilities. And especially in these deep rural provinces, we experience a lot of problems, especially of service delivery to these people. Now, what is the plan of the department to better the service delivery in those areas?
because we are very worried when we visited that space, those areas. Then the drug abuse, I see under the slide 6, the part of priorities, and I see there that the drug abuse is not part of that. And in our different communities, drug abuse is a worrying issue, especially in our rural areas, and also here in the Western Cape, because I'm from the Western Cape. And can the department just give me a reason why drug abuse is excluded in that priority? I know under the different programs, they do make programs available to address this problem. Then the other one, Honourable Chairperson, is to consolidate the policy on social relief. When will the department send this policy to the committee, so that we have also an insight in this? I just want to find out the working program of the department on this policy. And then the other one is the backlog on the appeal. Ms. Virginia Peterson make mention that she's only 4 days in her job. Now, we are talking about 60,000 appeals outstanding. Now, I want to find out, do she have a team to help her in this big, huge problem? And, just that question. And then the last one, Honourable Chairperson, the Youth Development Services, an audit will be done, but 3 provinces is excluded. Why? That is in slide 55, and especially I don't see the Western Cape is included in that program there. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chairperson. Chairperson, I also have a concern that comes from Limpopo, the visit we had in Limpopo. We had a program in Limpopo that's taking Parliament to the people. There at Limpopo, there were many issues raised against social development. And there are many cases of people who have no wheelchairs and who do not have access to some other things, some other programs of social development. But when we were there, it's when the department came in and assist people, and that seems to us as if they were waiting for us to come to the people and hear what the people are saying. Then they start acting, and for the government, it's not good in the eyes of the people that they are doing that. I think social development should monitor the programs that are done in the provinces. The national office should monitor the programs that should be done within the provinces as much as those that should be done in the municipalities. Also, there are groups of women as the priorities of social development says, build a comprehensive social security system, and also the care and protection for the vulnerable groups, especially women and children. I think there are programs that are there, like projects also that are being funded by social development for the people to have a sustainable livelihood. But those programs are also not monitored. As a result, they are not even costed. I've got, in my constituency, I've got women who have a sustainable project, but because it's not costed, they took 50,000 rand out of the project and they divided the 50,000 after 3 years of doing the project, of not getting any stipend. They took 50,000 rand and divided amongst them, because social development gave them 500,000 and said, you must first make a profit of 250,000, then you can start getting land. That's why I say these projects are not monitored. Nobody takes land initiative to monitor them. Also, I would love to know if social development on this ECD program. The ECD program, I think they also need a guidance, because everybody who wants to make a child care project, he will open just he will make a space and take all the children in the village and put them in the without consulting, without doing anything, and social development will leave that project to run for 6 months or for a year. After that, they will come in and say, look for a decent place. By that time, those children are already infected by so many diseases. I'm coming from a very rural area called Jamestown in the Eastern Cape, and I've experienced that. I was a teacher there. So also those programs, they need the attention of social development and guidance to the public. I think social development is not doing well with a program that goes to the public, like what do we call this program? A program that social to make awareness program, for example, to the communities. I think also those programs, they need also a monitoring and also to be evaluated. If there are, those programs need to be evaluated by social development so that they can be successful. It is of no use to use 40,000 or 700,000 in one day without having a good results out of the program.
Thanks. From my side, I have a few questions and comments. Just to add to what members have mentioned regarding the visit the Select Committee has paid in different provinces, the one that is mentioned in Limpopo and also KZN, there's a report that we are developing that will be submitted to the department so that you can be able to pick up all the issues that members are raising for you to respond to those issues. And issue that I just want to highlight is when we were visiting KZN, we visited a school that is a high school that has about 130 orphans. And what I liked is that the head of the school made an intervention to try and assist the orphans. He called the SASA, he called the social worker, he called Home Affairs to come and to their rescue, so that the kids can receive IDs or birth certificates so that they can qualify for grants. But unfortunately, the officials that were sent there, they couldn't help those kids. They left because they claimed that they have no parents, therefore the kids cannot be able to provide any documentation that proves that they are staying in the area, indeed their parents are late, and all those kind of things. So what we know as members of parliament is that in such cases, officials should know that there's a chief in that particular area, there's a councillor in that particular area, people we can assist in presenting some kind of documentation, whether it's an affidavit or whatever, just as a proof that these kids are indeed, they stay in this area, and they are orphans. So, I mean, what I'm trying to say is that the department has to emphasize to the officials of the department that there are other means to assist. You can't just leave children for many, many years without benefiting from the grants. And just because there's nothing that you can do, they know, they knew exactly what they were supposed to do, but because those officials, maybe they were irresponsible, or I don't know what was happening with them, but they had to leave those kids. So those are some of the things that members are concerned about the department and this. Some of the officials, not all of them, some of them. Mm-hmm. And also social workers will have to also assist in such regards where they identify all these homes that have these orphaned children who are heading the families, and all those kind of things, particularly in KZN, in Nongoma, this area of Ulundi district. The second issue is on the social assistance amendment bill, particularly the issue of defining the disability. I was still an MEC in 2004 in social development when we debated this matter of defining, you know, it very well, when we were talking about the definition of the disability. I'm shocked that this issue is still on the table. But I hope that the department will try and fast-track this particular amendment bill and issue so that it can be finalized. The social relief. Okay, if the department can assist the committee in providing the statistics on human trafficking, that will really help us. What I also want to request from the department, whether you have done any study in analyzing the contributory factors to human trafficking in South Africa. Secure care facilities, how many has the department established? Yeah, on what Member Mnube has raised on poor people. And we know that there are people that don't fall on all the categories that you have in the department. Some of them are not children who are necessarily benefiting from the grant, the social grant. Some of them are not 18. They're just in between. Some of them are not pensioners yet. For instance, yesterday the Department of Basic Education or Higher Education, they were telling us that there's about 2.4 million youth who are not at school, who are unemployed. So definitely that youth doesn't benefit anyway. They just fall on the category of people who are just poor, who are not getting any kind of assistance. The department, as one of its priorities, is the poverty eradication. What plans does the department have? And what kind of funding have you put in place to try and capture this group that is falling into the cracks, whether they are parents or youth or whatever? I think the youth mentioned here is one of those people that are falling into that category of people who don't have an opportunity to benefit anyway. The food banks established. How do communities benefit in the food banks established? And another area that you have to explain to us is the carte blanche approach on the social relief, which will be devolved to provinces. The monitoring mechanisms that you are going to put in place, because we don't want to see that those funds used for other things. As you have correctly said, that provinces, they use them for many, many different things based on the needs of the province. So if we can help in monitoring on the utilization of the funds so that there are clear plans on how to use it. So those are the few comments that I want to make. And on the appeals tribunal, we were looking forward to Virginia to come and make a presentation to us so that we can go deeper into those issues. Thanks.
I'm not sure how to start. I think the different managers will deal with the questions that pertain to their program. Yeah, and we can start with social security and move onwards.
Okay. Thanks very much, Chair Tessin and members. I note the concern around education. and I think Roger made a statement in terms of, you know, what contribution of social development we could make in that area. And I need to indicate, and I tried to also emphasize in my presentation that one of the key things that, or the decision that Cabinet took last year was to ensure that all the recipients of the CFP, you know, are in school. And I'm sure this will also contribute towards ensuring that children remain in school. And as I indicated, we definitely have to work together with the Department of Education and other role players to ensure that we monitor that children are in school whilst also receiving the social grant. And so that's something that we'll also add in terms of in our document. Let me also deal with... Am I audible? Okay, let me deal with issues around social relief. And I think Nebemba wanted to know when... The member wanted to know when will this be sent to the committee. Currently, the process is an internal process in terms of the development of the policy itself, and we hope that in the next coming months, the policy will then be sent to Cabinet for Cabinet approval. And once that has been approved by Cabinet, then I think we'll also have an opportunity you know, to engage the committee on that. And so that will be dependent on Cabinet's decision in terms of that. I also note your concern, Chairperson, around the monitoring and evaluation, because this is also very critical in terms of social relief of distress. The current discussion is that even though we are going to devolve this function to provinces, but national must still retain certain responsibilities and accountability around the money that is going to be used for social relief of distress. And so we are currently working on plans in terms of how that is going to be done, but also for it to be in line with Treasury regulations and other legislative framework. There was also an issue around the CSG, I mean, where the principal intervened and where our officials apparently, you know, didn't conduct themselves in a manner that they should have done. Because this is what we always do, and this is what the minister always does, also in terms of creating awareness. We do have this in Bizos, and the minister will go to communities to say, even if, for example, you don't have an ID, you know, but we need to work together, whether with the chief or whoever, so that we facilitate that process. Home Affairs itself will also be there to ensure that at the end of the day, we do not deny access to a child because we can't save the parent, we can't save certain documents. In fact, we have amended the social assistance regulations to say we are now going to consider even alternative identification. Even if you don't have an ID, but a clinic card, something that you know, indicates that you are Tavorakulodi, then you should be able to get a grant. But I'm sure if we can get the specifics around those officials, then we'll be able to take action. On the social assistance amendment bill, in terms of the delay when you deliberated on it, I fully agree with you, and I hope that this will be passed this year. Yes. And you also indicated some of the gaps within the social assistance, but it's not only the social assistance. I'm talking about the people that fall off the cracks, you know, people between the ages of 18 to 59, you know. And this is a bigger policy issue that we need to engage in. In fact, you'll recall that there have been other discussions around, you know, the so-called basic income grant to say other people who fall off the grid could probably be assisted through the basic income grant. And so I think as we discuss the comprehensive social security framework, these are the discussions that we need to bring in place. I can tell you today that yesterday when we're discussing around the definition of disability, we realize that many people with chronic illnesses will be affected because they are not disabled, but they are complaining to say we need income support. And so I'm saying these are the issues that require a broader engagement. And even from a departmental point of view, we need to engage several departments in terms of seeing how we can assist certain categories who are vulnerable. Chairperson, I think from my side, those were the questions in relation to social security. Unless if I've missed something else, thanks very much.
Thank you, Chair. I will just handle the appeals issue in terms of the staffing. Currently, there's a staff establishment of plus minus 80 persons, of which at this time 13 permanent employees are in place, with about 24 contract people. I think for me, when we develop the business case to actually address the work, one shouldn't say that's how many people it's going to take. One should rather look at what the provincial footprint needs to be and take some of those national posts allocated to provinces to oversee the process. So whilst there is a staff establishment, there are some people in place, I would rather like to see a business case with a more decentralized, quicker to the ground exercise of the work program. So that's what our intention is. But I look forward to the invitation. And if you could have it, like, just offer a month, Chairperson. Give me a little more time to get my feet wet. Thank you.
Thanks. I will, Chairperson and the members, I will respond on the issues that relates to community development, youth, and HIV and AIDS and NPOs. I will agree, firstly, that some of the comments are real and relevant, and some of the challenges that we have outlined are really what some of the shortcomings are. We accept that, and we have acknowledged them. There was an issue of why CDPs when the CDWs. Mm. Yeah. Yes, I think the genesis of this was that there was a realization that there's a need for another cadre that will link with social development directly and that will have a control of in terms of community development. And I think that's the reasoning. And I think it is working well based on what has happened up to so far. The issue of life, yes, we acknowledge that there's a problem, but the department is trying to develop a monitoring strategy and to look at it in scrutiny to ensure that we get the benefits, we get the best out of the funding that we are giving to LifeLife. The issue of rats in Alexander, I think something which the department will have to investigate. It's not out of bounds for the department. I think we will do that. I think our minister is very fond of that. So I think we will look at that and follow it up. Issue of capacity building of NPOs. I think the question relates to people coming to Gauteng for capacity. But what it relates to, I think it means that you realize that very well in the urban areas, a lot of NPOs are found in urban areas as opposed to rural areas due to issues like access to funding is quicker in the urban areas and a lot of funding. But in terms of the distribution from the register, all provinces have got a lot of NPOs. The majority of them are housing, but you still have a lot of NPOs in areas like Limpopo, Eastern Cape, KwaZulu-Natal. The list is only in Northern Cape. The services that are delivered by NPOs, how do they account? I think that the department has also realized the shortcomings in terms of the proper accounting system, but we are going to develop a guideline and the management guideline for NPOs to ensure that once an NPO is funded, it has got a system of funding. Some pilots have been done in different departments, and I think we are going to copy that, so that once we fund an NPO, there's an accounting system in place that will ensure that not necessarily for money only, but also the services and the quality of those services delivered are in order. And I think we have planned to develop such a model. The issues of youth qualifying, the problem with youth, according to the youth programs, it targets all the youth that are out of school, in according to the categories in terms of 18 to 28 and up to 35 years of age. And the approach is a decentralized, we develop policies at national, but the issue of the how do you get into the system, remember we prescribe and we give the guidelines in terms of how you need to get that provinces executed. Maybe the issue is whether when we do the monitoring, did we find anything that are outward, I think, but I think we haven't, we don't have a report on that. Why use the Cuban model? Don't we have, what have, the Masupatina is a program that the government in general, not necessarily this DSD, there are many things that the government have decided to copy what has been done somewhere else, so that we should not start from the scratch. So I think government, there are many programs that they have decided to copy what the Cuban are doing in terms of patriotism, in terms of morality, in terms of ensuring that our youth have got that feel. So we use the Cuban model, and we use the Cuba professionals to assist us in the development of the model. The issue of the disaster in Limpopo, I think we know we acknowledge it, and we will look into that. There was a question on the two provinces that are missing. One of the strategy in the youth development was that we need to establish direct trade that deals with youth in provinces. So in the areas where direct trade hasn't been established, the legal things could happen because there's nobody is going to do that. So that's why the two provinces, which is Limpopo and Western Cape, are left over in terms of what has been done. But I think as we continue doing that, we will look into that. I think they will come on board during the course of the year. Okay. The other questions was the it was on the issue of the offense and even Bob. I think we would like to thank you very much for that. I think that's something which the department needs to follow up, because we have the role to ensure that those offenses are looked after. I think as a department, different programs will deal with that. The issue of the food bank, how do communities benefit? The concept of food banks, it has got two areas in terms of how community benefits. One of the areas in which the community benefit is as recipients of those foods that are in the community. Second part is also for communities to begin to form community organizations that will assist in ensuring that we establish the food banks, and they will deal with the areas where we get the food and manage those food banks. So those are the two areas. There is a general question which I am tempted to answer on the EPWP. I forgot the word. On the EPWP. How did they envisage to expand? The EPWP is one of the programs that the department coordinates. Its role is to ensure that there is decent work by implementing, one, that the people that are providing services like community caregivers on the ground are trained. And those community caregivers are remunerated, or stipend is given which is better. And also looking at the conditions of service. So what the on the expansion on the EPWP 2, phase two of the program. What the intensity of it is to look at those care workers are continually employed in terms of the rendering the services within the home-based care, and they are given fair share of their services. They are remunerated in accordance with some of the standards that have been set. One of the things we're looking at the hourly basis, one of the challenges that we have in the program was that caregivers are appointed within the NPOs. If they don't come to work, the NPO just replaces them. No, go away, I'll take this one tomorrow. And that is not really what we want to expose our people on. Other things is that some NPOs appoint these caregivers, they don't pay them. They say, no, you are a volunteer for a year. Despite that, they are funded. So the program ensures that whoever is rendering services within those NPOs are decently remunerated according to the criteria that has been set, and they are well managed. One of the examples is that in 2008, there was a problem where when the caregivers that are HIV positive, when they go for the funerals, the NPO decided to chase them away from the organization. So the EPWP is to look at that, and also ensuring that there's a function and we provide more caregivers, and we ensure that there's much more employment opportunities created. Thank you.
I'll give you the welfare services questions and then Rogers can deal with the remaining questions. And Ms. Neyman, I think we want to talk about the non-financial data for monitoring. Okay. With regards to, I'm responding
to certain questions that pertain to welfare services. The first one was on whether there's really a drug program in place in social development. We do have a drug program, and then you've got a fortunate situation where the Central Drug Authority is situated in the department. So we work very closely with the Central Drug Authority, which ensures that all the departments, you've got a National Drug Master Plan, and then I think we can make that the National Drug Master Plan available to the committee members so that they know what the drug program that we have and the responsibilities of the various departments. Our main prevention program is Mugemoja. Hence, I said in this financial year, our intention is that we no longer only target youth and children in school and out of school, but the population, the country in total, especially adults. So we are going to embark on the we are going to strengthen Gemoja or heighten Gemoja in this financial year. And we have rehabilitation centers that we are providing support. Most of those rehabilitation centers are run by NGOs, are managed by NGOs, but funded by the department across the country. I'll get the statistics and then the specific names of those rehabilitation centers across the country. And there are also the day centers where people go, for outpatient centers where people go and get assistance during the day, but they don't stay there, especially after being through rehabilitation. With regards to the adoption program, especially for orphans, the department, which is within the HIV and AIDS chief directorate, it's monitoring and evaluation. We undertook a surveillance study on orphans together with Home Affairs. That study has helped us to know exactly where these children are. So from now on, we have developed a program, and adoption is one of those programs on how we can assist those children. First, we need to go and really identify where they live and assess their situation and look at, you know, what type of assistance we provide them with. And the Children's Act is helping us in this case because it now recognizes orphans as people in need of care and protection. It also recognizes childless households as children in need of care and protection. And we, the adoption, we have an adoption strategy which we hope
NINMEC would approve at their next meeting and will implement it across the country, because we've realized that the number of people in South Africa who are adopting children is very, very small. There's more demand from outside the country than inside. So we want to go on a huge campaign on trying to get people who can adopt children to adopt, so that we remove the myths around adoption. The child who's in who's involved in that case in Fenderstop, the 15-year-old who refused bail because he wants to remain in the secure care facility for so that he can have proper meals and proper bed. He will not remain there for forever. I think it depends upon the outcome of the case. If he's released, it means that we have to work with his family and ensure that the family gets the necessary services, especially the grants and other services that that family requires. With regard to the NGO for welfare services, we've got a financial award policy that ensures that even NGOs, CBOs in the rural areas, can access funding for service to deliver services in those areas. It is not happening as issued, maybe due to financial constraints at the provincial level, but we are reviewing the financial award policy so that we can make sure that really it really happens in reality, that those NGOs get access to funds. The auxiliary social work program, the learnership program, it is going on in all provinces, and we've not been aware of any problem in any province. The major problem that we have are the institutions or the organizations that are offering the program. We need to really make sure that the council accredits them properly, because it discovers that some people do not have the proper capacity to train social auxiliary workers.
What needs to be done from what the man was saying,
yeah,
is to publication, to make people aware,
yeah,
that there's a recruitment that is going,
okay,
on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
In local newspaper, transport, and everything.
Okay. Yes, we will ensure that the provinces do that. Yeah. We do meet with the provinces on a regular basis, especially those that deal with the welfare services. So we'll put this item on the agenda. And like we do with the scholarship program, we advertise on the radio, in the newspaper, and so on, and then we attract as many applicants as possible. And they do get the scholarship depending on whether they qualify or not. I hope I'm not jumping anything here. There was an issue around that. Yeah, I think it's also about drug abuse. I think I've responded to that, that we do have a program. It falls under social crime prevention. That's why it's not listed here. But under the objectives and measures, you'll find it there. But it falls under the program social crime prevention. The ECD program, yeah, it's unfortunate that some people do not know that we've tried to, through campaigns, especially during 2008 and 2009, to inform people about how to go about in establishing an ECD program or ECD facility, which is now called Pajal Care, that they need to approach social development officials, and then they need to register so that they can provide that service in accordance to the set norms and standards and guidelines. But the gap that we have in the department is that we are unable to identify those that have just recently established, unless we are informed. So we rely on the communities to inform us about the ECD centers that have been established. We're intending to do an audit on all ECD facilities, including those that are unregistered. We just don't have the budget. It's over 40 million grants that we need to do that, that study. But
we really rely on communities to inform us about ECD facilities that are unregistered and are not providing a good service to children. Statistics on the, I think I've dealt with often, the statistics on human trafficking and the study to determine the causes of human trafficking, I don't have that information at the moment. The statistic I know has not been really very forthcoming because it's a new, I think, because the prevention of trafficking and the bill is still in process and it has not been regulated. So even though staff has collected information, but it does not really aggregate this women trafficking as such. But I will ask and find out if recently there's been statistics. And the study, I'm not sure, there have been studies that have been done like on child trafficking by Molo Shongolola and other organizations. I'll find out and we can, I'll try and get that information this afternoon and see if we can get it to you as soon as possible. Okay, I think the issue of monitoring and evaluation is taken and it's something that even the portfolio committee is worried about, that we are not doing proper monitoring and evaluation. We rely a lot on the provinces to do that. The provinces have to do the monitoring and evaluation themselves, but we need to do a high-level one. We do have systems in the department, like we are in this financial year trying to implement the Social Development Information Management System, call it SDIM. And I don't know whether we've got time to talk about the non-financial data, but the norms and standards that I referred to earlier will definitely help us to monitor what is going on at provincial level and to support and give guidance on how to deliver the services. Services to disabilities, it is true, it's a huge gap. It's because we don't have legislation for service for people for people with disabilities, and we want to develop that legislation. There are lots of programs around for, you know, for sheltered employment, for workshops, for children with disabilities. We've just developed a strategy which we have to implement. The Department of Social Development has to work very closely with the Department of Education and Health. Health provides assistive devices, but that's the process of getting those assistive devices has to be facilitated by us. So it's an area that we still has got huge gaps, but we are aware of it and we are attending to it. I think I've covered, managed to cover most of the questions. Okay, I don't know whether you want any further.
No.
Yeah.
Delivery questions raised, it might be because we did not go through all the slides, but if members can go to slide 69 and 70, it does demonstrate that we are trying to make headways around that. Yes, we're not there yet, but we're putting systems in place to begin to respond to that. And maybe briefly on the issue of the empty, the priority around job creation and so forth, we do believe that obviously jobs are best dealt with from supply side, industrial policy, stuff like that. But we believe also that EPWP does facilitate development of some of the core skills as people participate in training, but also get exposed to the workings of the labor market and social entrepreneurship, and that increases their chances. It may not be the ultimate solution, but we believe that it does, in a way, assist towards the bigger challenge of the state of the country, unemployment.
Member de Villiers, as the last one.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Just for my understanding, so that when I partake in any discussion around this situation, the non-statutory military veteran, what is the understanding under that? Is that the
people who were in the and not in the army of the then South Africa, in the struggle army, say that. That's for my understanding. And then the other one, Honorable Chairperson, the 10% municipalities to utilize maternal orphans database. Is it a pilot project, and what is the role of the health department in this program? And then the other one goes around the sports and recreation, the mass participation. I also want to find out what is the situation of the sports and recreation department in this area. Thank you.
Thanks. On the issue of the maternal offence database, there was a study done by the department, and the approach then was finalized, and the department wanted to integrate it into the existing monitoring system that will be also integrated into the SDIMS, our electronic system. So one of the things we have planned to do is that we want integration of the system with existing system in a country like the birth and death, Home Affairs, and the State SA, and the department.
Facilitating the expansion and strengthening of social sector expanded public works. I don't think we've got information on this because the person who deals with this is not here, but we'll provide the information. I think the information that we don't have, we'll send it to the secretariat. Yeah, as what is the mascot. What the expanded public works does, it involves different departments. So each department has got a role to play. We know that in the past we're focusing on ECD and community care workers for HIV and AIDS and for ECD. But now there's an expansion. And this mass, you know, sports participation program, I think the Department of Sports and Recreation will deal with that, will be responsible for that. Each department has got some of the departments in the social sector, for example, and in the economic sector, there are departments that are playing a role in ECWP. But we will give you we'll get you the details on what is really the role of sports and recreation.
We will do that later. Yeah. Ma'am, you are the very last one.
I think in terms of improved monitoring and evaluation, over and above the system that we've been looking at in rollout, we have also started to develop a set of indicators across the social development sector, which we will progressively start improving on the monitoring and evaluation thereof. That will really assist. So there is progressive movement. It is a huge task, but progressively we also integrate it with the requirement for quarterly reporting with National Treasury on non-financial data.
Okay, let me take this opportunity to say that all the outstanding follow follow-up reports that are to be provided by the department to the committee. My office will be waiting for those that information. And also the reports that are mentioned from our visit will be submitted to the department for the department to can respond to the issues mentioned in that report. And also, we will await the presentation from the appeals tribunal to come and share what they are doing with us as a committee. I'm sure that will take this round about June or maybe later. Yeah, I'm sure by that time you'll be at least comfortable. Yeah, with all the activities. So, thank you very much, members. Members of the committee. Let's we have to we deal with the last item here. Just 5 minutes. Are you debating today?